Welcome to the Shift Gold Friday Gold Wrap, your weekly overview of precious metals and market updates. I'm your host, JD Bauman, and I'm here with my brother, Joel. Thanks for tuning in. Joel, great to see you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, JD. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to be here. Good to talk about the markets. I look forward to this every week. You know, it's a highlight. It's fascinating what's going on. Really unprecedented times here, as we kept hearing during COVID and the monetary expansion. I feel like the economy keeps taking new turns and just excited to jump into it here now.
Dude, likewise. And buckle up, because I think the fireworks have yet to go off. So we're going to have a really interesting 24. So let's hop into it and go through the data.
Sounds good. Gold this week is trading at $2,337 an ounce. It's down about $55 since this time last week. Silver is down even a bit more. It's at $2,720 per ounce, about 5% lower than it was this time last week. The dollar index is at 106.12, and the VIX, the fear gauge, is down to 15. Big news this week, and we'll get into it in a moment, along with Peter's podcast, was the quarter one GDP numbers. It came out much lower than expected at 1.6% instead of 2.2%. Also relevant this week was the core PCE numbers. The year over year came out at 2.8%, higher than the expected 2.7%. With lower than expected GDP and higher than expected inflation, consumers were pretty gloomy about the economy. So April's consumer sentiment index came in at just 77.2. Joel, walk us back from this time last week. When did prices move? Why did they move? Let's jump into the technicals.
Taking a step back to Thursday, Friday last week, after the Israeli retaliation, we did get a bit of de-escalation going into Sunday. So Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, right at the COMEX open, gold and silver actually started selling off, in part because we were at resistance points and we got more short-term profit-taking. So gold coming off Sunday evening at 6 p.m., selling down all the way until early Tuesday morning around the 5 a.m. mark. Same thing for silver. Gold, 2390 down to 2300, hitting that new price range founded this week. And then silver, on the other hand, starting at 2880 on Sunday, selling down to 26 and change, around 2690. Pretty big sell-off, and it kind of expanded our trade range, and it's stuff that we will look at on the price action side and on a momentum basis, saying like, hey, this is implying we're going to continue to be range-bound. We talked about it for the last couple of weeks, how we would get that coiling. It's just that coil isn't as tight, which is indicative of not that immediate spring or that launch off to, you know, silver getting above 30 or gold getting back to the new highs of 2450 plus. Make no mistake from what I'm saying, it's not the end of the rally. There's so much more upward price movement this year. And specifically for silver, I mean, once silver gets above 30, I mean, in my opinion, JD, I don't think the real rally has even begun in my mind until silver's above 30. But until that happens, just don't be surprised if we hang out here for a bit longer. But on the other hand, there's the net price to physical metal buyers. It's not just spot. You know, we focus on the spot side, but premiums are the other half of the equation. And premiums are starting to tick up. We're seeing that in the silver and gold eagles. And with Monday's drop, we saw a lot of commercial orders come in, which are eating up a lot of the coin supply and some of the retail bullion. So I'm sure some of you have been watching and listening, or if you track multiple markets and multiple dealers, you probably have seen either premiums go up or the beginning of some delays on some products, and that's happening across the industry. JD. Right.
And for those listeners who maybe aren't as familiar, the premium is the price over spot, the price over melt that you pay for the bar or the coin. So I think most of our listeners know that term, but maybe some are less familiar.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. But yeah, spot plus premium is the total price delivered to the door, and that's what matters for physical buyers. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wanted to jump into some of these GDP numbers. So I really think that's the biggest news of the week, and Peter touched on it, or actually went pretty deep into it in this Friday's, today's podcast. Talked about how we were expecting a bad quarter GDP-wise. Last quarter, we had GDP above 3%. This quarter, we were lowballing at 2.3%. And we didn't even get that. We didn't even get the lower end of the range. We got 1.6%. That's really pointing to a slowdown and really a deflating of some of the hype in the economy right now. You have so much momentum in these Magnificent Seven tech stocks. You have so much optimism in a fantastic few, and you have lower than expected performance and higher than expected inflation. So naturally, consumers are feeling gloomy. The Fed's really in a bind here. They were looking to lower interest rates, but they can't do that as inflation is going higher and higher and higher. So that's why Peter's talking about stagflation. And I think that is what we're trending towards. Stagflation might be the future we see. So good for gold. Great for gold miners. Miners are up. Peter's happy.
Yeah, Newmont had, and Peter talked about this, much better than expected earnings yesterday, leading the charge. And that might be, we might be entering a new trend where miners start outperforming gold and silver. That remains to be seen, but that will be, I know a lot of clients have been on the fence and been waiting for that.
The irony of this is that even as the economy is giving signs of dipping, we're spending money we don't have, right? Like last weekend we had $95 billion?
Yeah, the $95 billion Form Aid bill. Yeah, Peter covered it on his podcast last Friday. This not today's, but a week ago, and he was saying, like, what are we getting out of this other than thousands and tens of thousands of Ukrainian and Russian deaths? And not only that, is like these bills, we don't have the money. We borrow and then we give it away. Like, it'd be one thing if we had the surplus and we were giving out of our abundance, but we're not. We borrow it and then we give it away. This debt spiral is exploding even faster. You know, going back to the stocks that you were talking about, a lot of talk about potential melt-ups, and we definitely can see that if we get rate cuts or if they happen more aggressively than we think. But the market is just so sensitive, and they need lower interest rates. But the moment you raise those interest rates, as Peter always says, it's like turning up the kettle, and it's just it tests all the malinvestment, and anything that doesn't overcome that bar, it's a body check to the whole free market economy. And without lowering interest rates, you know, if the Fed tightens up, they're talking about it, or if they go from three cuts to two, or they, you know, they don't follow through with it at all, we are going to get a market correction at some point. It'll likely be before the end of the year, and it can get really ugly on a lot of these growth stocks. We could talk more on that, but let's focus on the week ahead and what are the big key points for this coming week as we go into May.
So next week, we have some more consumer confidence numbers coming out on Tuesday. The big announcement is next Wednesday, the FOMC interest rate decision comes out. Nobody's expecting them to lower rates, but it will be interesting to hear Powell speak that afternoon, to hear the language about why, when, and how they're thinking of lowering interest rates. Currently, the CME FedWatch tool expects them to lower this November for the first time. The other big news next week is the jobs numbers. So both on Wednesday and on Friday, we're getting some jobs numbers. We'll see if we get that expected. Roughly 200,000 jobs is what we're in the ballpark for.
Great. You want to close us out on the week, JD? We can get on with the weekend here.
Yeah, sounds good. I don't know about you, Joel, but I am a Jordan Peterson fan. I love 12 Rules for Life, and I was surprised to find a quote from him about gold. He's talking about it in an archetypal way, and he says, if you run from the things you are afraid of, you run from exactly what you need to find. Jordan Peterson, praising gold here. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we hope you have a great week.